Thank you to Bradley Wallace and the Wallace Firm, proud partner of the Lakers Talk Podcast.
Thanks, Alan. Our team at the Wallace Firm is excited and proud to partner with the Lakers Talk Podcast. If you're injured and you need a win, call 844-844-WINS or go to wallacewins.com.
710 ESPN. This is Lakers Talk with Alan Sliwa. The weekend started with a tribute to Kobe at Staples.
Everybody that's here, this is really, truly, truly a family. And I know Kobe and Gianna and Vanessa and everybody, thank you guys from the bottom of their heart, as Kobe said.
Although we didn't get the W Friday night, we were together as the healing process began.
Tonight, we celebrate the kid that came here at 18 years of age, retired at 38, and became probably the best dad that we've seen over the last 3 years, man.
The next night, the Lakers took out the Kings.
The Lakers come into Sacramento and beat the Kings.
And now the Spurs come to Staples tomorrow night. Alan looks ahead tonight and takes your calls all tonight on Lakers Talk. Your city, your city, your station, your station, your Lakers. Your Lakers. 710 ESPN. Here's Alan Sliwa.
I appreciate you guys tuning in. We go till 9 o'clock tonight. We'll continue. If there's any updates, I know there's a lot of people kind of curious about the NBA trade deadline and some names being thrown out there. Clint Capela from the Houston Rockets. Rockets knowing that as constructed, they don't have a shot at an NBA championship, so they're going to see what they can get for Clint Capela. And we'll keep you posted on any other names. Tristan Thompson name has been thrown around. Andre Drummond. If anything happens while we're doing the show, we'll get you updated. All right, let's get some shootout going. Funches, just a quick heads up. Shootout presented by the Wallace Firm.
There you go.
Injured, need a win. You need the Wallace Firm. Proven trial lawyers who can get you a W for your case if you're injured. Get the W. Call 844-844-WINS or wallacewins.com. No win, no fee. 844-844-WINS or wallacewins.com. Funches, how you doing, buddy? We have
good, man.
We talk a lot, but we haven't talked on this show,
yeah,
it feels
we had
like in a
very
while.
Long week, you know. Yeah. Very long week for us in the city of LA and Laker fans everywhere. So we're just trying to push you through it, man.
Yeah, everybody, right? Like it is kind of a it's a weird time. Look, it's different than it was a week ago.
Yeah, definitely, man. If the feeling around just the city, the station, whatever, a lot different than a week ago.
But you know what? Can I ask you a question here? From like a personal level, this is part of what happens in life.
Yeah.
Life goes on.
Yeah.
Kind of bothers me a little bit. You know, like I feel it's like you want the mourning to continue.
You do. You do.
You know what I mean? Like I want what was outside was there yesterday is now not there anymore. And I understand the reasons why and everything else, but like I cannot believe Kobe Bryant is no longer around.
Like everyone, you know, around him says, they thought he would be around forever. And I thought he'd be around forever too, man.
I can't believe that his daughter is not around. I can't believe that there were seven other people on that helicopter. Mm-hmm. And just the circumstances, and we'll get more information as it goes along, but man, so sad.
Yeah, very, very sad, Alan. But we must move on and try to get, you know, to entertain the people and stuff like that. So,
of course.
We'll start with this, man.
The hell yeah.
Thank you, Kobe Bryant. Mm. Thank you, man. Rest in peace, brother. All right, according to The Athletic, Steph Curry will be reevaluated in about a month, and the Golden State Warriors are hopeful he can return in March. Curry only played 4 games this season and is out because of a broken hand. Alan, I probably asked you 10 times this season already. But should the last place Warriors just sit out Curry for the rest of the season?
So what's the idea now? In mid-March is when
and like in a month from now, they want to reevaluate him to see if he can play, if he's 100% healthy or whatever. And then if he can play, they're going to play him.
I don't understand. You know, if they're doing it, they're basically doing it just for him to get back into a rhythm, for him to get back to feeling good again, and probably doing it too just for their fans. Their fans have watched nothing all year.
Yeah.
They've obviously watched just a.
I'm sorry, Alan, but they've been to the finals like 10 straight times. Their fans are satisfied.
I don't feel bad for them at all. They obviously have been incredibly successful over the last few years, but. Yeah, I don't understand. If Michael Thompson was sitting here right now, MT would say something to the effect of like, look, if he can play, then you play him. But I don't understand the purpose of playing him, but I understand that you're doing it for the right reasons if he does come back.
Duh! Yeah, and exactly what MC would say. But I mean, Curry has been he's been out since October, basically.
Why play him now?
And you're in the last place. You have a chance to go for the number one pick, which could just turn your fortunes around and put you back in the driver's seat.
And they're already in a great position walking into next year.
Exactly. But you add that number one pick, you know, you can trade it away. You can even save it and draft one of these young guys coming up. You know, maybe a James Wiseman, maybe a LaMelo Ball, and you know, add it to your stable.
Okay, so realistically, no, I don't think he should come back.
Yeah.
But if he comes back, I know why he's coming back.
Yeah, me too.
I know they're doing it simply because he's good.
Yeah.
He wants to play. Mm-hmm. He sat out X amount of months. But it would be shocking, in a sense, that he just comes back in mid-March.
Yeah, and there's like
with
five
about
games,
a month left.
Yeah, probably like
seven
games left or something like that. And I, you know, my opinion, they should just sit him out, get that number one pick, and just be ready for next.
Has
October.
Draymond been playing a lot?
He's been playing you know, I think he's been off and off.
Fair amount.
Hell no.
Thank you again, Kobe Bryant. NBA.com's David Aldridge, you just talked about this, is reporting that Andre Iguodala is prepared to sit out the whole season if the Memphis Grizzlies can't trade him to one of the teams he wants to go to. The rumor is that the Grizzlies are asking for a steep price of a first-round pick for Iggy, and that has some teams backing off. Good for business for a 36-year-old Iggy to shut down if he doesn't get his wish, Allen?
I think for Andre Iguodala, if he can't go, okay, if Andre Iguodala cannot go, or if he doesn't get traded to the team that he wants to get traded to, or let's say he doesn't get traded from the Memphis Grizzlies, I understand. Like, I understand if Iguodala's like, well, why the hell am I going to play? Iguodala's 36 years old. It's not like Iguodala's a spring chicken. But I'll tell you one thing. I will feel so bad if Iguodala doesn't get to play out this season. You know, if he doesn't get a chance to be on a contender, I want him to be on the Lakers. But if he can play for another team and help them win a championship, this is kind of the purpose for Iguodala, is this moment. If he doesn't get a chance in this, you know, situation, that's got to be tough, Funches. He doesn't have many years left in the league.
Let's just say he doesn't play this year at all. I don't think he's coming back to play at all.
Could be right.
He's going to be 37 next year. And then he already has his career already set up for after the NBA. I think he's going to go into broadcasting. I don't know if you saw him at ESPN the last couple of weeks, but he's doing a pretty darn good job on, you know, First Take.
He's got to get on a team. He's got to get on a team right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if he's not on a team by Thursday, you got to get on a team.
And, you know, there's also been these, you know, rumors that if Memphis can't trade him anywhere, that he might even come back and play for Memphis down for their playoff stretch.
They are sitting in the eighth seed right
now. Yeah. And wouldn't it be a great story if Memphis can knock out the Lakers with Iguodala and stuff like that?
No, it would not be a good story. It'd be a terrible story. But I know what you're saying, that Iguodala would still get an opportunity to play in the postseason.
Yeah. All right, Alan, moving on to the All-Star game. As the NBA last week announced it would change the format for the game, has in the first three quarters will be sort of like a regular basketball game. But when it gets to the fourth quarter, that will become interesting. At the start of the fourth quarter, a target score will be set, and basically if, let's just say that Team A has 100 points and Team 2 has 95 points, and the target score is 124.
And that's what they're going to make the target score, right?
Yeah, like something like that.
They're going to make it 24 for Kobe.
Kobe 24, 24 for Kobe, 24 points or whatever. So what if they're
one team has to score 24, the other team has to score 29.
Yeah, so if after the third quarter, if one team has 100 and another team has 95, the team one would only have to score 124 points total to win the game, and Team B would have to score 29 points. So
It's confusing, to be honest with you.
It's very confusing, yeah. But I think if you see it played out, then it gets, you know, it looks good or whatever.
Put it this way. It sounds like it's easy to execute, but it's very difficult to explain.
Yeah, right.
Because I was trying to do it in the pregame show with MT.
Yeah.
And just the look on Michael Thompson's face, he looked so confused. And I'm like, I don't know how to explain this. I'm like, I'm trying. And he was confused even before I was reading it off because he was looking it up. It's confusing, but I know there's a purpose for it.
Yeah.
The purpose is for Kobe.
Uh-huh.
What's much more powerful and much greater is the fact that we just heard LeBron talk about Team LeBron is going to wear number 2 for Gianna. Team Giannis is going to wear number 24 for Kobe Bryant. That is a beautiful tribute in its own, and you know that that All-Star game is going to be it's going to have a lot of Kobe Bryant moments, and that's the one thing I'm looking forward to over those 3 days.
And when, you know, everyone's saying, you know, what NBA is saying, that this is a tribute to Kobe, but, you know, everyone around the NBA is saying that, let's not do this. Let's just play hard for 48 minutes, you know, like Kobe did in his All-Star games.
Do you remember this? It was a great story Dwayne Wade told.
Yeah.
I think on that TNT special about a week ago. And I think he said this story before.
He broke his nose.
They're playing in an All-Star game. Yeah. Dwayne Wade breaks Kobe Bryant's nose.
Yeah, I remember that.
And I think a day later, or whatever the case is, whenever it was, Dwayne Wade reaches out to Kobe and says, hey, man, I'm sorry. You know, that was inadvertent. That wasn't. Yeah. And Kobe goes, no, don't say sorry. I love it.
Yeah,
I love it.
That's the type of thing he was.
And Dwayne Wade is looking at the schedule, and he's looking like on the calendar when the Lakers play.
And they play him like next.
They play him like three games later, and he's like, oh, Jesus.
And I remember that with Kobe with the blast
mask. Kobe had the mask on, and they're just telling the story of, by the way, I don't know if it was that or if he was telling it to KG in one of those other interviews. Wherever he was telling that story. Uh-huh. I think a lot of players have talked about how the best way to remember Kobe Bryant is take the way his work ethic was towards his craft.
Mm-hmm.
His work ethic towards his craft, you can't compare with anybody else in the league.
Yeah.
Nobody worked as hard as Kobe. So I think there is something to that. By the way, the All-Star game, if I remember correctly, the All-Star game is never taken seriously.
No.
What if this All-Star game, these guys are out playing to win the game, but these coaches are out
that we get
substituting.
We get a real basketball game, not like a 180 to 170 thing. We get like an actual 100 to 90 game. They're playing defense for all 48 minutes.
What if that's the new trend in the All-Star game?
That'd be amazing.
That'd be great. That's a great way to commemorate, to remember Kobe Bryant.
Yeah, that'd be great, man. All right. Also last week, Alan, the All-Star game reserves were announced, as in the West, Russell Westbrook, Damian Lillard, Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert, Nikola Jokic, Brandon Ingram, and Chris Paul make up the Western Conference reserves.
Okay.
In the East, we got Jimmy Butler, Ben Simmons, Chris Middleton, Jason Tatum, Domus Sabonis, Kyle Lowry, and Bam Adebayo are the Eastern
Conference. Bam Adebayo.
Can never say his name, but are the Eastern Conference reserves. Now, anyone get snubbed, Allen, or did any reserves deserve not to make it?
I know what people are saying about Bradley Beal and Devin Booker.
Yeah.
I know why they're saying it, but I don't mind when players get in that have, you know, are 10 games, 15 games over 500.
They're still balling. They're still putting up good numbers.
Like, I get it. Kyle Lowry got in. I think a lot of people didn't like that.
I totally disagree with that.
I'm okay with Kyle Lowry
getting in. Why is that? Bradley Beal should be in before Kyle Lowry.
Let me tell you why. Here's a Toronto Raptors team that lost Kawhi Leonard.
Okay.
And everybody thought they got no shot, you know, in the Eastern Conference. They got a real shot.
But the Raptors already got somebody from the Raptors.
Pascal Siakam.
Okay, that's fine. All you need is one guy from that team to go to the All-Star game. I don't need Kyle Lowry to go too.
I'm not crazy about teams that are so far below 500 and there are, you know, there's no competition on their specific team getting in. Now, you could say, okay, well, why'd Ingram get in? Right? There's other players you could talk about. Yeah. And then I think it's just kind of splitting hairs, which guy you think gets in and which guy doesn't.
I hate to say this, you know, there's a lot of, you know, Laker fans that still follow Ingram and still love him, whatever, but he shouldn't have not got in. Devin Booker should have got in. This guy is averaging 27 points.
Booker over Ingram?
On 51% shooting for a guard, a shooting guard. Somebody that's, you know, shooting 20 times a game.
Yeah, you also got the one thing I will say, I think the way to do this is make it positionless.
Yeah, that's what he said too, Devin Booker.
Stop getting in this whole, okay, well, we got to have a power forward and we got to have a center. No, you don't.
No.
Get the best 12 that get in from the East, the best 12 that get into the West, and you'll figure it out because the talent speaks for itself.
If there's 12 guards in the East that deserve to make it, and there's 12 forwards in the West that deserve to make it a guard versus forward game. I don't care.
Doesn't matter.
Right?
Because they're going to get drafted anyways, right?
Exactly, right? You're going to split it up anyway, right?
So it doesn't matter.
Exactly, all right. All right, so I got a little game tonight, you know, to just, you know, put us in a good mood. And I was thinking about Damian Lillard's tear, where he's pretty much averaging 50 points.
In the last six games or something like that?
Yeah, something like that. Jesus Christ. And I did some research to find some of the unlikeliest players in NBA history to have a 50-point game. I got, let's see, I got seven names, Alan, and I want you to tell me if they ever had a 50-point game.
Okay.
Andre Miller.
He has.
Yes, you got it, man.
Yeah, I remember Andre Miller doing it, and I remember the moment where I'm like, what? How did Andre Miller have a 50-point game?
Yeah, okay. A Mr. Chris Paul.
No.
And you got that one right, too. Chris Paul has never had a 50-point game ever in his career.
CP3 is he's great at a lot of things. I would be shocked if he got 50, so I'm going to go no.
Okay, this is a blast from the past. Allen Houston, former Knick Allen Houston.
That's a good one. I'm going to... If he didn't get it, I know he was probably really close, but I'm going to say Allen Houston got it.
Yes, he did, Allen. He got two of them in his career. Also,
I'm going to do this tomorrow in the pregame show with MT.
Okay.
By the way, I'm throwing off MT.
I'll give you more names.
I'm throwing off MT on some of these.
Okay.
When we did the scores, we said who scored 60 points or more in their career. There's only six guys that have done it more than twice.
I heard it,
He was so stuck. Let me show you.
I heard it on a pregame.
And it was comical because he always tries to get me with questions. Yeah. He throws me off. Some of his questions have nothing. Actually, 90% of his questions have nothing to do with basketball.
No.
So it felt good to get him. So I'm going to use this one tomorrow.
Okay. All right. Next guy, Chauncey Billups. Has he scored a 50-point game in his
career? With 50. I don't think he'd get one in Detroit. Did he get one in Denver? Did Chauncey Billups score 50 in his career? I'm going to go. I'm going to go yes, and I think I'm wrong.
You are wrong. Yeah. Chauncey Billups never scored 50 points. I think his career high was 39.
Okay.
All right, I got another one for you. A current player for the Orlando Magic, Terrence Ross.
Yes, Terrence Ross.
Ross has had a 50-point game. You got me there. Corey Brewer, former Laker.
Corey Brewer has. He has, hasn't he?
Yes, he has.
I mean, now, just the fact that he's on that list, you just have to imagine.
All right, one more guy. Clifford Robinson. Remember Uncle Cliffy?
Yeah, I remember Cliff Robinson. With Portland. I mean, the fact that you're throwing that name out there makes me want to say yes. I'll go no.
He's had a 50-point game, Alan. Dang. One 50-point game. And that's all I got for you, brother. I hope you tear this game up with MT tomorrow.
That's so funny. I did another one when LeBron was getting to number three on the all-time scoring list, and he was just about to get to number three. I did assists, and points. There's only two people in the top 12 in both categories.
Uh-huh.
Okay? So LeBron was one of them, so I was like, MT, all right, what's the second one? Who's the second player that's... top 12 in points and top 12.
Did he say John Stockton?
He said John Stockton.
That's what I
said. I was like, MT, John Stockton. Stockton wasn't known for scoring. And then he goes, okay, how about Karl Malone? I'm like, how is Karl Malone going to be top 12 in assists?
Great. This is great, man. I'll give you more names tomorrow. You can give the MT.
I love it. All right, that's great stuff. Thank you, Funches. Appreciate it. All right, we come back. Andy Kamenitsky. I would say that Andy Kamenitsky and I are going to do this interview live, but if you were listening to Mason in Ireland leading up to this, Mason completely unveiled the curtains. AK coming up next. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN. All right, welcome back to Lakers Talk. We got Andy Kamenitsky, obviously a frequent contributor on 710 ESPN, also writes for The Athletic. AK, thanks for taking some time and hopping on the show.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now that it has been just over a week since the tragic passing of Kobe Bryant, Gianna Bryant, and the other seven victims in the helicopter crash, I just want to get you, how have things sunk in for you? Have they sunk in? I think for me it's still very, very surreal, and now that we have basketball games being played, it's kind of this mixture of emotions. Just want to see where you're at on everything.
Well, I mean, I feel like this is important for them in terms of just trying to find some sense of normalcy and trying to find ways to move forward from this, even incrementally. Like, it's going to be I think, weird a lot for this season.
Yeah.
And this is something that's going to be on the minds of the entire Laker organization, from players to coaches to front office to rank and file members. I mean, there have been a lot of people in this organization who have relationships of some type with Kobe, or played against Kobe, or, you know, in the case of somebody like Quinn Cook, idolized him. I mean, you know, Quinn Cook got to know him a little bit, you know, beginning when he was at Duke, and, you know, Coach K made an introduction, and he got to know Kobe well enough to seek his advice every now and then. But Quinn said after Friday's game that, you know, this was his biggest idol in terms of basketball. You know, he actually went down to the shrine at Staples Center that fans created, and actually just spent time among the fans by himself, just paying tribute to Kobe and you know, dealing with that sadness. And I feel like these games are helpful, but I feel like this is just going to be something that the organization is going to be dealing with for a while.
By the way, and I think part of me, I asked that question is because, you know, fans are in a similar boat here. Fans, you might not have known Kobe, but you felt like you known Kobe. And I think the games has been interesting, you know, Friday and Saturday. I'll say Saturday specifically for me. Saturday felt like a good distraction for a couple hours, right? And I know part of that distraction, you heard Kobe chants in the middle of the game. Part of that distraction also brings back to thinking like, man, how the heck did this happen? How are we here right now? But as you mentioned, getting back into that routine, I think is probably helpful, and I think it's helpful for the team. But from a fan base perspective, I'm sure there's a lot of fans that are kind of coping the same way. You know what? Let me watch a game because it gets me away. Yesterday, the Super Bowl, I thought was a great distraction. These are things that are distractions at the moment. Obviously, it doesn't take away, in the big scheme of things, just the tragedy that happened.
Yeah, I mean, look, people need releases from this. You know, they need some type of refuge. They need some type of distraction. You know, they need some way that can prevent them from having to deal with these feelings just 24/7. And I think for the fans, the game can be a bit of a more of a pure release than it can be for the players. I think basketball can give them some degree of refuge, and Frank Vogel talked about that after Friday's game against Portland. But I think if I had to guess, it doesn't provide, you know, a complete refuge for the players, because they associate basketball so much with Kobe.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, like Kobe for all of these players shaped their worldview on the game. Like, I don't think it's hyperbolic to say that.
I saw a tweet out a little bit earlier, and I did want to get your thoughts on this as we look at, just the circumstances and everybody's predicament situation. We know this for Rob Pelinka, who's best friends with Kobe Bryant and is obviously running all basketball decisions for the Los Angeles Lakers. Tweet out right now on or a story out on The Athletic LA. The title of it, Lakers must consider every avenue possible in pursuit of a championship. That could mean trading away at could mean trading a player at an absolutely gut-wrenching time. Andy Kamenetsky looks at the brutally tough circumstances facing GM Rob Pelinka. I'd like for you to maybe give us a little bit inside of the story and share what the thought process here.
Well, I mean, I appreciate that. I wrote about this for The Athletic for a piece that went up today. The question for the trade deadline with Rob Pelinka before the accident with Kobe, there was going to be that question of addressing needs that have been persistent during the season, whether you're talking about a lack of reliable ball-handling playmakers that aren't LeBron, or a lack of wings on this team that can, you know, defend either athletic or physical threes and fours, even some of the bigger twos out there, and I think to a lesser but still tangible degree, shooting. You're going to have to balance that with the possibility of altering chemistry with a trade. And, Alan, you know this because you've been around the team too. This team is really, really bonded. They're one of the most bonded teams I've ever covered. They are extremely close. So this was going to be something that Rob Pelinka was going to have to weigh under the best of circumstances.
Sure.
But now you're dealing with the absolute worst. And this team has been through, I think, a very profoundly sad experience of, you know, having to not just deal with Kobe Bryant's death, but being the Lakers dealing with, being the players on this team, you know, literally finding out about this on a team plane, heading back from Philadelphia, and then spending the last week just processing this in a city that doesn't give them any escape from it, you know, any refuge. Either you never go anywhere without a reminder of it, and nobody is being watched more than the Lakers in terms of how they're dealing with all this. And, I mean, we saw how the players reacted during that tribute, how they talked after the game. This is something that they shared together that I think only increases their bond and makes it something that an experience that somebody from the outside, I'm not quite sure they can understand it. So that is also something that Rob Pelinka is really going to have to be thinking about. And this complicates it even further. The idea of, is this the right time to potentially be altering this team's chemistry, you know, removing personalities and energies from that locker room? But the flip side of it is the needs are the needs. And, you know, the Lakers are still trying to win a championship, and they owe it to themselves to try to put them in the best position possible. And that might actually mean removing somebody from that locker room at a really awkward time. And either way, these decisions are being made by Rob Pelinka, who may be grieving more than anybody in this organization. And trying to enter the headspace of being a GM right now, I can't imagine what that's like. Frankly, it's going to be awkward for execs around the league to even contact Pelinka about this if they're interested. Like, I mean, do you think anybody really wants to be negotiating with a guy that's publicly grieving right now? So, I mean, just the timing of this is just all really unfortunate, but it is what it is. So, you know, how the Lakers go about dealing with this, how Rob Pelinka, you know, leads these efforts and the eventual decisions that he makes, I don't know what the right answers are or if there even are right answers. I just feel really bad for them having to deal with it at all.
Andy Kamenetsky, hopping on Lakers Talk. You know, AK, I will say, and by the way you described it right there, no, I cannot imagine, you know, just what's going on through Pelinka's mind right now. I mean, here you are, you lost your best friend, and just going about, you know, business, it's got to be so incredibly tough to just have your own personal emotions, and then you're trying to lead this business, this organization that essentially everybody associates with your best friend. So
yes,
him sitting in those shoes right now, I don't know how he's doing it, but obviously from a personal perspective, from a professional perspective, man, I feel for the guy. And I say I feel for the guy more so than anything else because he lost such a good friend of his. What do you think... what do you think happens here? Trade deadline is Thursday at noon Pacific time. Do you think the Lakers are active, or do you think the Lakers probably pay more attention to that buyout market?
Well, I think they're going to pay attention to the buyout market regardless, just because, you know, you get the opportunity to just find players, you know, who are free agents as opposed to having to deal with the complications of a trade. As far as the deadline goes, I mean, I'm not going to speculate in terms of just how active they are or not right now, just because, you know, the situation with Kobe complicates things in ways that are difficult to really speculate. But their setup makes it difficult for them to be really active in the trade deadline anyway, because they don't have a ton of assets. You know, Kyle Kuzma would be their most tradable asset, but he makes around $2 million a year, which makes it extremely difficult to trade him straight up for an impact player. You know, guys like Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, putting aside the fact that there's no reason you'd even want to trade him right now, he has a no-trade clause. And, you know, outside of LeBron and Anthony Davis, their only real star-ish sized contract is Danny Green. But Danny Green, they brought in specifically for the playoffs.
Sure.
And, I mean, he's exactly who you want for a deep playoff run. So they don't have a ton of flexibility and entry points to begin with, so that would limit how aggressive they really can be. And then again, unfortunately, you add this emotional context that Rob Pelinka has to consider, just in terms of the chemistry and the well-being of this locker room. You know, I don't know exactly how he approaches that, but I would be stunned if he's not thinking about it.
Hey, Kay, it's going to be interesting the rest of the way, all season long, and obviously this is the new reality, but I appreciate you taking some time and hopping on Lakers Talk.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, that's Andy Kamenitsky. Let's still do this. I want to get into – I want people to take a listen. Randy Moss yesterday on NFL Countdown had just a beautiful, beautiful – 2 minutes or so talking about what Kobe Bryant meant to him. So I want to play that. And then also, still want to kind of raise this question about the NBA trade deadline coming up. Is this team good enough as is to win a championship, or do you feel like they do have to make some kind of move? So if you guys want to be a part of that conversation, phone number is 877-710-ESPN. Keep the roster as is or make some kind of change before the trade deadline comes. We'll do that coming up next. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN. All right, just to give everybody a little bit of information. So I'll still be doing Lakers Talk every Monday night, or if the Lakers have a game Monday, I'll just do it Tuesday, the way we have been doing it for years. I'll still be doing pre- and post-game shows, so that will continue. But on the nights that there is not a game and there's no Lakers talk, I'll be doing my own show. So we'll be talking about everything relevant, obviously on a local basis, and just relevant in sports in general. So that starts on Wednesday. So looking forward to doing that. 6:30 to 9, I will follow Mason in Ireland. George Sedano, for those who are wondering where Sedano's show going to go, Sedano's show is going to be 10 to noon. So he'll follow the morning show, Keyshawn, Travis, and LZ. Okay, so I mentioned this as a topic, and I know that this is going to be the conversation for these next couple of days. Not nearly as much of a conversation as it was a week and a half ago or so. Can we win a championship as is? Or do you think we need more? We just don't have enough. My thoughts for the past, I think, couple of months, or even let's just say the last 30 days, has been this. My thoughts has always been, I don't know if we have that wing defender that we need against the Clippers in a 7-game set. By the way, the Clippers would tell you they don't think they have enough size to match up against Anthony Davis and some of these bigs that the Lakers have. So both teams have their strengths. The strengths for the Lakers is the size of Anthony Davis, and there's no answer for him. And the strengths for the Los Angeles Clippers are all their wings. That's the one area that I feel like if we're going to get anybody from a trade before the trade deadline, which is Thursday at noon, or if we're going to get some type of a buyout, then a lot of that's going to come down to a wing type of player, a wing type of defender. We've heard the name Andre Iguodala thrown out a ton of times. Funches, I don't know if Andre Iguodala is going to be available in that buyout market. You just have to imagine the team is going to make a move.
With like 3 days away from the trading deadline, it doesn't look like Andre Iguodala will be available for trade unless you have a first-round pick, and that's what Memphis seems to be asking for.
And they might get it.
They might get it. There's like 8 or 10 teams linked to Iguodala that could use him.
Well, think about what just – there was a report a little bit earlier from Adrian Wojnarowski about the Rockets looking to deal Clint Capela.
Yeah.
In a deal for Clint Capela, what they're looking for is
– a draft pick, right?
A big and some draft picks.
Yeah.
And if they could get some picks, they'll get their big. They'll go out and try and get Andre Iguodala. Mm-hmm. I think Robert Covington was another name.
Yeah, I heard that too. Yeah, yeah. And
three-team deals.
And
are
I just
not
heard you
unlikely.
Talking about the Clippers right now, and I have a couple names that they're showing up in the Clippers radar, according to Twitter world.
What names are those?
Andre Drummond and Tristan Thompson. And that's you just said that you know the Clippers are looking for some big men to combat the Lakers, and I think the Lakers are looking for some wing guys to combat
go up against Clippers.
The Clippers. Yeah.
How would they get Andre Drummond?
Oh, man, I forgot who said this or tweeted it out, but they had
no. But I heard that name before. But how? I mean, what
would be like?
What can the
Clippers possibly offer for the Pistons to say, well, yeah, we'll take, yeah,
well, from,
take this package?
You might not know this from all the Paul George, you know, the draft picks and all that stuff, but the Clippers actually own their first round pick this year.
That's right.
And they can package that with Mo Harkless and maybe somebody else. They can get Drummond or Tristan Thompson.
But isn't there so much more value to Andre Drummond,
yeah,
than Mo Harkless in a first rounder?
I guess, but I you know,
well, Detroit, I hope that doesn't happen.
Detroit probably wants to get out of his contract. They probably want to rebuild. You know, they got a couple bad contracts in Detroit right now with Drummond, Blake Griffin, and Reggie Jackson. Sorry.
All right. So Andre Drummond's contract, I thought it was the final year, or he has an option in this year. Let's see what Andre Drummond's contract. So he's got one more year after this, and it is, looks like a player option. So they got to match $28 million in salary, or get 75% within that. I don't know how they're going to do that. Maybe there's a way of doing it, but...
Hey, we didn't think the Clippers can get Paul George, but they did.
I don't want to see Andre Drummond on that team.
You get Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, and Andre Drummond?
I don't want to see Andre Drummond on that team.
I mean, I don't know. You know, that's a tough matchup for the Lakers.
I don't want to see Tristan Thompson on that team either. But yeah. I'd rather see Tristan Thompson.
Of course, man, right?
If I had to pick between the two. Okay, we'll see what happens there. I want to read out a quick tweet. So,
one more thing, Alan.
Yeah.
Quick update on what's going on across the street. The Spurs are up 63-54 on the Clippers.
63-54 halftime. There was a tweet that was sent out, or it wasn't actually a tweet. It was after Memphis, who are now 25-25, got a 2-game cushion on the Portland Trailblazers for 8th spot. All this chatter around Andre Iguodala, Dylan Brooks brought up, had brought up Andre Iguodala and all the chatter. I want to read this off. Let me source this. Mark Gennato, who works for he's sports columnist for the Memphis News, sent out a tweet, and this is what Dylan Brooks had to say. Dylan Brooks, if you guys remember, used to play for Oregon, now obviously part of the Memphis Grizzlies, says, "First time I seen him was on TV talking about us. It doesn't even matter. Andre Iguodala is a great player. I feel like he's doing the right thing for his career. But we don't really care. It's not a distraction at all. I laugh at that type of stuff. A guy that's on our team that doesn't want to be on our team, I can't wait till we find a way to trade him so we can play him and show him what Memphis is really about." So Dylan Brooks not holding back, and I think you're not probably sending out that type of a tweet unless you're thinking that Andre Iguodala is not going to be on your team anymore. Now, I know Iggy hasn't been there the entire way anyway, so I don't think that...
And I got an update on that, too.
Yeah. Is there another one?
Apparently, people are digging through Ja Morant's Twitter and are seeing that he liked all of that stuff that Dylan Brooks had tweeted out, or that report I tweeted out about Dylan Brooks.
Maybe that's part of that team is saying, look, you don't want to play with us. We've gone out and accomplished some good things this year, which they have. They're 25-25. Like I mentioned, it's impressive to see that they're in the 8th spot. I've been tracking that 8th spot for a while, and I think a lot of Laker fans have been curious about that because that would be a first-round matchup right now, Lakers versus Memphis. I'd like to avoid Portland if you can.
Yeah.
But I think Portland will end up in the 8th spot.
Going on what happened on Friday night, I think you want to avoid Portland at all costs.
Plus, Nurkic is going to eventually come back. Mm-hmm. Zach Collins is going to eventually come back.
They just got Ariza.
That's
going to get healthier.
That's
healthier
their size.
Yeah.
You know, that size that we talk about, one of the advantages Lakers have, they're going to have that. And then you got Damon CJ McCollum.
Mm-hmm.
Trevor Ariza, obviously a name
don't,
that we're
accustomed
to.
Don't forget about Melo.
So Portland is who I'd like to avoid. Memphis, I'd love to play Memphis in the first round.
I think that's a sweep for the Lakers.
You want to go up against that team that just doesn't have any bad experience.
Inexperienced team. They're just happy to be there. You know, they're just happy to just set their foot on the Staples Center floor for that first game in the playoffs.
How about the Oklahoma City Thunder right now are a game and a half out of fifth place, 30-20.
Wow.
Everybody thought, and by the way, they could still be sellers come trade deadline.
Yeah.
You hear Danilo Gallinari's name being thrown around.
I heard that from Miami, too.
They could still be sellers, but just for them to be sitting at 30-20, to have traded Russell Westbrook and Paul George, and they could have still have a better seed than the Houston Rockets,
and it could still trade Steven Adams for some more value and get some more picks and some more guys back.
And they stockpiled in picks with that Clippers trade.
Yeah, they're sitting pretty right now, sitting pretty.
Okay, let me play this. How much time we got? Do I got time to play Randy Moss?
Yeah, you can do it.
All right, Randy Moss on Kobe Bryant. This was on the Sunday NFL Countdown on ESPN.
In my Moss household, man, is Mamba forever. And I just want, you know, I'm sorry that I'm up here emotional, but that's the first time I've heard anything about Kobe Bryant since his death. And since we were at the Pro Bowl, I had a lot of messages on my phone talking about, Randy, you didn't take time out to give Kobe his respect. But I didn't want to say anything live on national television because we didn't know if things were true or not.
Yeah. Right.
So, and I really appreciate y'all giving me this platform. But, man, when I say Mamba forever, I'm a big Michael Jordan fan. I really am. But when I say it's Mamba forever, man, I say that Kobe Bryant, to me, man, you take politics out of professional sports. Kobe Bryant is the best and the greatest basketball player, and I'm not saying that since he's here anybody can check my resume. I love the game of basketball. Kobe Bryant, man, is the greatest basketball player. No disrespect to any other greats out there. But now that he's gone, I say it when he's here, the greatest basketball player that I've ever seen dribble basketball is Kobe Bean Bryant, man. God rest his soul.
All right, we come back. We'll continue our conversation about the Los Angeles Lakers. We'll do a little look ahead of what the Lakers got coming up this week. We'll make some predictions, and then we'll also do our Power 5. Power 5 is going to be around the NBA trade deadline. You want to be a part of the show, feel free to call in 877-710-ESPN. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN. All right, so Lakers have three games this week. We'll give our predictions shortly on how we think the Lakers are going to do this week. And as we kind of start moving back to you know, Funches, we talked about this at some point, and everybody's going to kind of take it in a little bit differently. For me personally, it's been incredibly difficult. I talked about this to start off the show. Just even watching Kobe highlights or watching old Kobe interviews or watching old Kobe games, I don't like doing it. Personally, I don't like doing it.
Yeah, it's hard to watch, like, you know, NBA TV, Spectrum, and all that stuff, because they're just showing old Kobe games and old Kobe highlights and stuff like that.
I know there'll come a time where, in whatever time that is, right? I know there's going to come times where I'm gonna want to watch them, and I'll be glued to it because I want to kind of go back to what made Kobe Bryant Kobe Bryant. I'm just not ready.
It's probably
for it.
One that you tell someone about the story of Kobe Bryant. Of,
yeah,
you know how good of a player he was and how good of a player he was.
What made him so special?
Yeah, how better of a man he was off the court and stuff like that. So, yeah, I think once you tell the story of Kobe Bryant, you'll be showing those highlights and you show up proud.
All right, let's do some Power 5. We will rank the top five potential players to be traded by the NBA trade deadline. We're going to rank them as who we see is the biggest name in the market. So this hasn't really anything to do with the Los Angeles Lakers, but these are names that we have heard on the rumor mill could get traded. If they do get traded, how high of a caliber are they in the league, and what kind of swings they can make around the NBA. So Funches, I was looking at the list of just players that I've heard their name be rumored, and I'm going to throw out some of these names and then we could kind of rank this five, but these are the names that I was able to kind of I've been hearing these names over the last couple of weeks or so.
All right.
Clint Capella.
Okay.
Danilo Gallinari.
All right.
D'Angelo Russell. Marcus Morris. Tristan Thompson. Andre Drummond. Drew Holiday. Robert Covington. Bogdan Bogdanovic. Derrick Rose. Those were the best names that I can find. If I'm missing something from that list, let me know. But it seems like these are all the players that we're hearing that most realistically could get traded. I thought Kevin Love can't be. I thought they were saying that they're thinking Kevin Love can't go.
I think it's because of the contract, but he could go.
Could go.
He could go. He has a big contract, a big number in that contract, but he could go if he can find the right buy. You know, we all thought the Chris Paul contract was untradeable, right?
That's right. No, there really is no contract untradeable. It can happen. Okay, why don't you start things off at number five?
All right, number five, I got a tie. You know, you love my ties. I got Kyle Kuzma and Derrick Rose, who could go for each other
sure.
in a trade. You know, Kyle Kuzma is our guy. He's supposed to be a third scorer. He's not living up to expectations this year. And then Derrick Rose, they're just a mess in Detroit. They need to get rid of him just to get some assets.
Get some assets.
Yeah.
Okay, real quick. How many ties do you have?
A lot, man.
Because if you have another, let's say you have two, three more ties, that means Steve, he got nine players in this ranking.
I just hate to leave people out. That's all.
That is your thing moving forward. If you don't have ties, I'm going to be disappointed.
All right, we'll
you
got to
have
we'll
ties.
Keep we'll keep it in a power five.
No. Now moving forward, I want you to have ties. Now okay. I feel like this
right,
is your
cool.
shtick.
All right, man. All right.
Okay. All right, number five for me, I'm going to say Robert Covington. All right. Mm-hmm. I think Covington could be a good piece for a lot of teams.
Yeah.
Only 29 years old. I've said this a couple times. I think he'd be great for the Lakers. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're going to get him.
Yeah.
And this is one of those things, I've said this before. If you trade Kyle Kuzma, you have to hit. You can't mess up. Haven't had that conversation in a couple weeks, but that's been the conversation in the past. I got Robert Covington at number five. Who you got number four?
Number four, I got Robert Covington as well. He's a 3-and-D guy. He'd be great for the Lakers. I've heard that the Sixers want him. I've heard that the Rockets want him too.
Remember he was in Philly?
He was in Philly. He started in Philly, I believe, and that's how he made his name. And
yeah.
Made his money.
It's a nice
Minnesota,
player. It's a nice piece.
And, yeah, nice piece for maybe 5 or 16 contenders.
If he's fourth best player on your team, it's a good team.
That's a championship team right there.
It's a really good
championship team.
Championship
team right there, Alan. Championship team.
Especially he's at the right age, too.
Yeah.
What I mean
yeah.
by that is 29 means he's gone through some playoffs. He has that experience.
He knows who he is, too, as a player.
He values the opportunity.
Uh-huh.
So I think that has a lot to do with
yeah,
it, too.
Yeah.
All right, number four for me, Clint Capela. Capella's young.
Yeah.
He's 25 years old.
But is he a one-trick pony? I mean, or actually a two-trick pony just blocking shots and dunking?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, he is.
And
he
as
is.
Long as he knows that that's his role, there's value for that in the league.
Yeah, yeah.
Let me see how I can give an example. We were just talking about the Clippers.
Yeah.
If the Clippers got Tristan Thompson or if they got Andre Drummond, mm-hmm. let's use Tristan Thompson more.
Yeah.
That's kind of how Tristan Thompson got his big contract.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
His entire career is built off being a kind of one, two-dimensional player,
yeah.
and that's it. That's all you got to do for some of these teams.
Mm-hmm.
I got Capela at number four. You got number three.
Number three, we just talked about it right now, Kevin Love. If somehow a contender like Boston or maybe Portland can somehow get Kevin Love.
Got their hands on him.
It's, you know, Portland makes the playoffs if they can get Kevin Love. If Boston gets Kevin Love, they might come out the East. You know, I'll say they might come out the East and beat the Bucks if they can somehow get Kevin Love.
All right, my number three is D'Angelo Russell. D'Angelo is my number three because I think he's still an asset.
Yeah.
Listen, I've been saying since the beginning of the season, when they got D'Angelo Russell as part of that KD deal, Kevin Durant went to Brooklyn, but they got an asset back. We're talking about the Golden State Warriors and whether Steph Curry should come back in March, whatever the case is. If they don't trade D'Angelo by the trade deadline, Funches, that top three pick in D'Angelo Russell is a great trade for the Golden State Warriors
yeah.
to come find a player that could be the Andre Iguodala of 7 years ago.
Uh-huh.
To play with Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, Draymond Green.
They're
back next year.
They can get another All-Star with that.
No, they're back next year.
Yeah. Like another top 20 player with that trade they can get.
They are back next year.
Yeah.
And a lot of it also depends on how high that draft pick is, but top three. So I got D'Angelo number three. Who you got number two?
Number two, I got D'Angelo as well. You know, we just talked about it. They make a trade. They somehow get, if they get the number one pick, I mean, I don't know if they can trade it. They might want to keep it. You know, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, they're kind of young. They can have that young guy kind of grow with them for another couple years.
I think the Warriors, if they got the number one pick, I think they're going to, they'll definitely think about it.
Yeah.
But they're also going to be very curious what they can get for it.
Exactly.
You're getting an all-star to go along with those three.
But also, Alan, this year's draft ain't last year's draft where you got all those good players
True.
Coming out too. You
True.
Know, it's a top-heavy draft this year.
All right. My number two, it's a player that I don't think anybody talks enough about. I like Jrue Holiday.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
You've been hearing Jrue Holiday, kind of his name
thrown
around.
Yeah.
Jrue Holiday That's a player I think could be the difference of winning a chip or not. He falls in the right hands with the right team that understands how to properly use him. Holiday is known as being a guy that's a fantastic locker room guy, has never really been competing for an NBA championship, so imagine how he would value being on a championship contender. I like Jrue Holiday a lot.
I like him too. I like him for the Lakers. I like him for the Clippers. I like him for.
I do not like him for the Clippers.
I like him for all the contenders if they can somehow get his,
for the
if they can somehow get their hands on him.
All right, what's your number one?
Number one, I went with the best player. I think that's a tradable asset right now, or could be traded, is Andre Drummond.
I'm with you.
This guy is
a beast.
He's averaging what? He's averaging what is he? 20, basically 20 and 20.
Not
17 and 15, basically. But that's 20 and 20 in my books.
But he could, listen, that's something that's not uncommon for him to have 20. excuse me. It's not uncommon for him to have 20 20 nights.
He's had a couple 20 20 nights too this year. And I believe his career or his high for rebounding this year is 24. That's just a lot of rebounds. That's one. One team can get 24 rebounds in one night.
I like the Andre Drummond personally. I think that's the best value player that's being thrown around. All right, real quick, we'll do our look ahead here. Got about a little bit over a minute. Home against the San Antonio Spurs tomorrow. Win or a loss?
I got a win since the Spurs are playing the Clippers right now and giving them all they could right now.
All right, Spurs are also 500. I got the Lakers with a W tomorrow. Home versus the Rockets on Thursday.
I hate to say this. I think the Rockets finally get one.
They get one against the Lakers. By the way, are they Thursday or are they?
Thursday. It's Thursday.
I've been telling everybody it's Wednesday.
No,
okay,
Thursday.
So I've been lying to
everybody.
We're
playing Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday this week.
All right, I got a win against the Rockets. I will take my chances against James Harden and Russell Westbrook every night of the week.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of their defense because they don't play defense.
Of course not. No one likes James Harden at the
station. Okay, and then road against the Warriors on Saturday.
I'm rolling with the Lakers on Saturday as well. This is going to be a 30-point blowout.
All right, you got them going 2-1. I got them going 3-0. I've been awful in all my predictions. Hopefully I'm right this time. As we kind of wrap things up, quick thank you to Steve Paulette. Thank you to Michael Funches. Download the Lakers Talk podcast on the ESPN app or on iTunes. Tomorrow, Lakers taking on the Spurs at 7 o'clock. Pre-game show starts at 5:30, and then just a quick reminder, I'll start the Sliwa show coming up this Wednesday. Appreciate you guys tuning in, LA. Have a good rest of your night.